It is officially the mid-season point for fantasy football. Let's do episode 41 of season 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast early Tuesday morning before the trade deadline. Keep that in mind for whenever you hear this podcast, but all week 8 games are complete. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented once again this year by Hooters, celebrating 40 years on the 4th of each month with throwback events featuring 83-cent wings and other great specials. Speaking of specials, $6 drinks all day, every day. Visit originalhooters.com for location information in the greater Tampa Bay area. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. For your fantasy football questions, I want to start with a mid-season review of what's going on in the three leagues that I commission. I play in two of them. Let's start with the one I do not play in. We simply call that the League of Champions because half of the membership has previously won one of my league championships. And one of those championships was won last year by Captain Morgan, Todd Wright Tour Golf Captain, looking to defend a podcast league championship. He doesn't want to leave anything to be determined. It was a very close race last year in the podcast league. And ultimately, Morgan emerged victorious. It wasn't by much. We obviously had to handle, he had half his team going in a Monday night game that was canceled. So we had to handle that all appropriately. But in the end, Morgan was our champion. He doesn't want it to come down. Well, here's the funny part. And I know Morgan listens to the podcast. Morgan knows I've already taken the guesswork of week 17 out of it. So this is a reminder to everyone playing in my podcast leagues and the foundation, which isn't a podcast league, but we'll talk about that. I moved everything back this year because of odd things that happened in week 17 last year that impacted fantasy football. We had the unfortunate situation in the Monday night game resulting in a cancellation. We had a healthy franchise RB1 in Derrick Henry not play just because his team's game with the Titans didn't matter. So they wanted him fully rested for a winner-take-all game the next week against Jacksonville. Didn't work. Titans lost. And then we had Jalen Hurts sit out a second consecutive game. Was it second or third? With an injury because the Eagles did not need to win that game. It wasn't a must win for them to clinch the NFC East. So based on those three factors, and I've talked about this in previous podcasts, I backed up the end of my season an entire week. Going back to, you know, we have the throwback unis of the Kelly Green, the Oilers, the Creamsicles, the gorgeous Seahawks uniforms they just wore the other day. Yeah, I threw it back to when we had a 17-week season with 16 games. We're now ending fantasy football again in week 16. Week 17 and week 18 are no longer going to impact any of my leagues. So we're at the midpoint. So I took that out of it for Morgan. And Morgan's like, yeah, I'm going to take even more out of it. This is me talking, not him. I'm not smack talking on his behalf. I'm praising him. He has a very big, not insurmountable, we still have 8 weeks to go, a very big lead in the League of Champions over one of his Todd Wright Tour golf partners, Kevin, who also helped Morgan run that draft. And Kevin's pick of Travis Kelce certainly worked out, even though apparently Kevin, this is not confirmed, was oblivious to Kelce injuring his knee hours before we had that draft at Hooters that night, resulting in Kevin taking Kelce in the first round of the draft. Kevin is in second. Chris led the way at the beginning of the season. He's still there in third. And then literally, wow, 17 hundredths of a point back to fourth is Tony, another former Podcast League champion. Then Bill, who's won a Podcast League championship. Matt, who we love having back in the league, he won a Podcast League championship. He won the Moneyball championship. I still regret I didn't do that this year. Then Jeremy from Brandon Legal Group, who's been very active in transactions, trying to make trades. Scott, who played last year. Then back to Robert Cabala Jr., who I played golf with over the weekend. One of the best golf photos I ever took, I posted that on my social media, was of Rob in the quarry holes at Black Diamond. And then Rob Wright, who's got a daughter on the way, or it just happened, his second child. So Robert, where you are in these fantasy standings is relevant to what's going on with your family. My best to Mrs. Wright and your newborn daughter, whether this just happened, is happening, or is about to happen. You're really nice people. So that's where we are in. And let's just take one more look at who's helped get Captain Morgan to this point. His roster: Tagovailoa and Herbert, both. Pass catchers: Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown. That's tough to beat. Jordan Addison, Tank Dell. RBs: Pacheco, been good, been basically fringe RB1 worthy. Gibbs, great the last 2 weeks. Oh, he also has Christian Kirk, by the way, as a pass catcher. Kenneth Walker. Weird one on Walker. Walker didn't touch the ball as much. No, I'm sorry. Walker either didn't touch the ball as much, or his snap count was not as much as rookie Charbonnet in the Seattle-Cleveland game. Was that just because Seattle was playing from behind and sort of needed Charbonnet as a pass catcher out of the backfield, or something going on here? I tend to think it's the former, but Charbonnet has been playing more. Brian Robinson, a solid fallback running back who you know is going to touch the ball quite a bit every game. Let's see how much he touched the ball against the Eagles over the weekend. It was at 10 for 59, caught two balls for 20. Not great. Last 2 weeks, just eight touches of the ball and 12 touches of the ball. 12 touches the previous week. Yeah, it's actually down more than I thought on Brian Robinson. Last four games for Robinson, he's had touch counts of 10, 12, 8, and 12. That's not great. Then Spears, which is a common hold just in case something happens with Henry, more trade-related than injury-related, and Gay is his kicker. But yeah, when you look at, he's got one. I mean, you've got two of the top four or five wide receivers, and you've got three RB1s. Gibbs is an RB1 when Montgomery is not healthy. That's a big reason why. And two options at quarterback: Tua and Justin Herbert, who that middle finger on the left hand just writes his own jokes. So that's in the League of Champions, as Captain Morgan shows the way at the midseason point by a sizable amount. Let me also say here, because many in the podcast leagues listen to this podcast, and I appreciate that, Yahoo will not declare a champion in our podcast leagues after 16 weeks. I will. And I will lock everyone's roster, and I will pull everyone out of the starting lineup. We are done after 16 weeks. We are done. The way Yahoo sets up their leagues when you're playing for total points, they continue to just go about their business through week 17 and presumably week 18. So the website won't say who the champion is until the regular season ends. I will declare a champion after 16 weeks. We are not playing after 16 weeks. So please remember that. That's why I'm doing this podcast today. In the podcast league, whose only former champion is me because I had to run this particular draft, Ira Kaufman, who I beat head-to-head for the podcast championship 2 years ago, won this past week, barely over Andrew DeWitt. Mark Fitzpatrick was a close third. Then Bengal Ralph, who I did a big trade with on Sunday morning. Then me. That was for the week. For the season, Andrew DeWitt, gambling editor of The Athletic, whose team was drafted by a surrogate, two-time foundation champion, Doc, professor of geosciences at the University of South Florida, who drafted Tyreek Hill with the third pick. Andrew DeWitt's in first, much less of a lead than the captain has in the League of Champions. But Andrew's and Doc's team has been great. Sean is in second. At times, Sean has been the leader this year. I know Sean's paying attention because one night during a Monday Night Football game, he texted me and asked why he wasn't leading in the season-long standings, and I had to tell him Yahoo only updates season numbers overnight, not live. Sean's very solidly in second, playing to not pay. If Sean wins this league, Bill Curry Ford doesn't pay out a winner of this league. That's the $1,000 that Sean pays out to winners of the podcast league. Greg Barker is third. Played golf with Greg and the previously mentioned Robert Cabala Jr. Over the weekend. Greg, I told, look at my roster, see if you want to do a deal. He didn't. Neither did Mark Fitzpatrick. So I did the deal with Bengal Ralph. Ira is now fourth. It's a pretty good gap from Greg to Ira, third to fourth. But again, we're only at the midpoint here. Then Drew Garabo and John Senning have hung in there very nicely, considering the fifth round choice, the pick to open the fifth round of Aaron Rodgers, did not work out. They've hung in there very, very nicely with the fifth pick. Not many waiver claims, but the ones they've had have been strategic and timely. They're in fifth. Mark is sixth. I'm seventh. I bubbled up after Thursday night to fourth because I stacked Josh Allen and Gabe Davis, and that really worked out against the Buccaneers. But as others had their quarterbacks and another player play, I barometered back down to seventh. Ralph is eighth. Mike from Papa John's, Mike and Chuck are ninth. And Scott, new to our league this year, not new to fantasy football, is 10th. The big deal I made with Bengal Ralph after Greg didn't show interest in a deal, Mark Fitzpatrick turned down a deal that I offered him. I didn't want to deal with Arthur Smith anymore as it related to what the hell he's doing with his players. So I moved Bijan Robinson Sunday morning. In a four-player deal, I also sent Devontae Smith, who hadn't done much of anything since week two. And there are just a lot of things that don't look right about the Eagles' offense. Line looks great. Brotherly shove looks great. Defense looks really, really good. Something about that offense, other than A.J. Brown, not right. Devontae Smith has a very good game, so good for Ralph. Annually, I do one trade with Ralph. A couple years ago, I did a trade with him, and it helped win me a championship. So if this works out for him more than me, you know, that's the way it goes. So I sent Ralph Bijan Robinson and Devontae Smith. I took back Jacoby Myers because he'd been hot, scoring games, kind of like a Gabe Davis type. Only caught one ball in a bad night that the Raiders somehow hung in there for a while on Monday Night Football against the Lions. And I took David Montgomery back, who I'm projecting off the Lions Week 9 bye will be the starter again for the Lions, and I expect him to be as productive as he's been healthy the first half of the season. Some might say, well, you see what's going on with Gibbs. It's not going to be the case. No, I still think Montgomery is going to be the guy. And they will use Gibbs differently. The workhorse is Montgomery. And I needed to make a change anyway. So I made that deal. Again, on the surface and based on the trade evaluator on Yahoo, it said the deal benefited Ralph more than me, but I didn't want to deal with Arthur Smith, and I did want David Montgomery for the second half of the season. I have Gibbs in the foundation, so I'm very happy with the Gibbs production from Monday night and even the previous week, but I believe his name's Dave Kluge, K-L-U-G-E. He posted on Twitter X late last night, I'm looking forward to the backlash of Gibbs owners in 2 weeks once Montgomery returns, who complained Gibbs had like seven touches in week 10. I don't think it'll be that bad, but yeah, I'm kind of siding there with Dave. So that's the podcast league. Again, Andrew DeWitt's team, much of which was drafted by Doc from the foundation. Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Josh Jacobs, plugged Daryl Henderson in there with the injury to Kyren Williams. Marquise Brown, Josh Downs has been very good recently. Kyren Williams, Jerome Ford at times, and who's his kicker? Brandon Aubrey, who just booms it, had a 58-yarder. For Dallas in their win against the Rams. In the foundation, in the chase for the Jimmy McGinty Trophy, I'm showing the way. Now, we're well past the midseason point because we play head-to-head. Our regular season ends in week 13, so we have 5 regular season week games left. Then the first round of our playoffs, 3-6, 4-5. The 6 will be the wild card, where wins and losses don't matter. Of the bottom 5, you get in on points. So it's 3-6, 4-5. First and second seeds get a bye. And then we have our semis week 15 and our championship game week 16. I've done well. I mean, I had a lot go wrong in the one game I lost. I'm 7-1. I had a lot go right on Monday night when I needed it. I had Amon-Ra, who despite the sudden illness, I actually was going to do something really drastic, and I talked myself out of it because I said, you know what the Lions are doing? The Lions are playing nice here. Amon-Ra's sick. Word's going to get out that he's sick. And if they don't put him on the injury report, they're going to look like there's going to be questions about it. Just put him on the injury report. Who gives a shit? If he plays, he plays. If he doesn't play, he's sick. So he did. And then Amon-Ra went out, and he played his ass off. So did Gibbs. I had both of them. So I beat a 2-time Jimmy McGinty winner and my kryptonite, Sean Weatherington, in this game. I'm 7-1. Doc got 4 field goals, including what was it, a 52-yard knuckleball, or as we'd say for fans of the Mighty Ducks movie, knuckle puck from Riley Patterson. That was the difference in a one-point victory over Joey, two of the top teams in the league. So Doc goes to 6-2. Dave's been cranking out points. He's in third at 5-3. Joey's in fourth at 5-3. Then there's Jared, Darren. A lot of winners here. Doc's won it twice. Joey's won it. Jared's won it. Darren's won it. Sean, 3-5. He's won it twice. Then Tara's 3-5. Our PDQ guys, the Fernandez brothers, are 2-6. And Ben's having one of those years. Ben either competes for the league title or he's the ass man. And right now he's in line to be the ass man again at 1-7. He is the guy who drafted Patrick Mahomes in the second round and never played him. Traded him for ETN, which has worked out, but still. That's going to be on the Ben, not the tombstone, because you know, this is not a eulogy, but when people say, well, why was Ben the ass man from 2023? You might have been the one guy in the fantasy football universe in 2023 who drafts Patrick Mahomes and never played him. Granted, you got ETN for him in trade. You traded him because you played Tua instead, who you were smart to draft in, what, sixth or seventh round. But still, you drafted Mahomes in the second round and never used him. He never earned a point for you. Not questioning the trade of ETN, just questioning why you picked him. So there we are through, oh, you want to, just as I've talked about Morgan's roster and Andrew / Doc's roster, Doc drafted it. Andrew has tweaked it with some very good waiver moves. Mine, my draft, but I also just shows what waivers means. I should have played Joe Burrow last week against the Niners. I didn't. I picked up Stroud to stream him against the Panthers. Wasn't great as the Texans lose to Carolina. This just in, by the way. We're halfway through the season. Carolina's three games out of first place in that division. There's a podcast listener who had a thought that the change in play caller might give Carolina a chance in the second half. They're three games out of first. Falcons have quarterback questions. Saints are Bucks are Is there a way? What's that right now? Should I text Gil Alexander with Veasan or Patrick Everson? What's Carolina right now to win the NFC South on the futures board in Vegas? Is it worth not lunch money? Is it worth snack money for the odds? It's got to be at least 8-1. My team. Burrow, who will be now in my starting lineup, Sunday night game against the Bills. God, I got so many guys on bye this week. I've had two bye-mageddons. I survived one in week 7, and now I got another one. In week 7, I had Burrow on bye, Thielen on bye, Higgins on bye, Aubrey on bye. In week 9, I have Gibbs on bye, Run CMC on bye, Amon-Ra on bye, Ayuk on bye. Oh, gosh. So, right now I'd have to start Akers and a Bears running back. And then I have to decide on Downs, Hockenson, some combination of Downs, Hockenson, and Higgins as two of my three pass catchers. So, there you go. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening to episode 41 of season 8 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you later this week. Remember, this was recorded Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, before trade deadline moves and other news. Factor that in. depending on the time you are listening to this podcast.